find your seats.
Thank you, everybody.
Get the gentleman.
Tanya. But Shimon ben Elazarima. Ezra, Tikin Lehem Li Yisrael, to Gemara Megillah, for those who remember, Lamed Aleph Hamad Beis. Ezra, Tikin Lehem Li Yisrael, she occurring Kalola Shebateres Koinim Koidem Atzeres. Ezra was Masakin for Klal Yisrael, that you should be Koira Kalolois in Teres Koyanim. Koidem Atzeres, before Shavuos, we should be Mishnah Torah, and in Parshas Devarim, the Klolos in Parshas Devarim, Koidem Rosh Hashanah. My timer, what's the reason? In order to finish off the year with all the, when we finish off, we say all the Klolos that's Negeir to that, Kilo, we want to finish off everything bad. The Gemara says, I understand that in Mishnah Torah and Parshas Devarim, I'm saying it before Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Adin. Elish b'Teiras Koinim Otto Atzeres Rosh Hashanah. Teiras Koinim, that's in Vayikra, that we learn the Klolos before Shavuos is Shavuos a Yom Adin. So the Gemara says, yeah, Rosh Hashanah is also a Yom Adin. Because the halacha in the Mishnah is Ubatzeres al peros ilon. It's a Rosh Hashanah li ilonis. There's a Moedik Shla Kodesh that says, so we have over here like this. We have over here that Shavuos is a Yom Adin. The Gemara seems to say that the Shavuos is a Yom Adin. Is a Yom Adin for peros ilon. Just like Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Adin for people, Shavuos is a Yom Adin for ilonis. Says the Shla Kodesh. What does ilonis mean? So Ilonus says the Shla Kodesh means the Ilon, which is representing the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Anofim, the branches that come off, are the Neshamas of Klal Yisrael that are on this world. Ubatzeres on Shavuos, the Ribbono Shel Olam is dan the Neshamas of Klal Yisrael to what they're being worth. That's Pshat Ubatzeres al Peres HaIlon. How Elon means this big Elon Hagodl, which means the big tree, which is the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's the Sherish, he's the root of all the Neshamas. And the Anofim, the branches that come off this tree, are judged on Shavuos. He says that Shavuos is a Yom HaDin for Kabbalah HaTorah. We find that the day is coming up to Rosh Hashanah, or we call Yimei HaRachma Vastich is Yimei HaDin. Between Pesach and Shavuos, we also find in different Svarim, it's brought down that the Yemei Hadin, because it's a Hachonah for Kabbalah Satorah, to the point that Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim all died during Sfiras HaOmah. I once had a Shaila. You know, we talk about Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, 12,000 Chavrusas. Shtol Zachfor, you're sitting in Eretz Yisrael, and you hear about that there was an earthquake, and Chas v'Shalom, Lakewood, Torah Das, Mir, Chaim Berlin, every big yeshiva just got wiped out in 2 seconds. Within 3 or 4 weeks, there's nothing left. How would you walk around? 12,000 chavrusa, you're talking about 24,000 people, b'nei Torah, were wiped off the map. There was no Torah. It was like a Holocaust. There was not one yeshiva left. There was 5 Talmidim that Rabbi Akiva had to go, and Talmidim Shebedorim, he went down and he taught them Torah. And all the Torah that we have of Torah Shebal Peh today all comes from these 5 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, Rameh, Rabbi Tarfon. 24,000 Talmidim were wiped out because it was Yimei HaDin. What was the Yimei HaDin about? What happened during Sfiras HaOmah between Pesach and Shavuos? That there's a hachonah to Kabbalah's HaTorah, that ki'ilu the Ribbono Shel Olam, there's a certain din going on, Klapei Shemaya, that looks at us and says, are you roy to be Mekabel Torah? And if you're not roy to Mekabel Torah, he sort of like turns around and says, okay, you're not going to be from the nice now, Taira. If you take a look, you'll see the Memches Dvorim Shatari Niknes Behem. There's 48 different kinyonim how to be kind of Torah. Memches Dvorim Shatari Niknes Behem. There's 48 different middas that a person has to have in order to be kind of Torah. And the Baron says on Meridik Avot, he says, if you want to be kind of Chayfetz, if you don't use the right kinyon, you've done nothing. If you make a Mashicha, a behema niknes be mashicha. If you don't use a mashicha on a behema, you haven't been kinder. You can do a kinyan that works somewhere else. Hariat mukudeshli works by an isha. You're kinder the isha. But if you say hariat mukudeshli by behema, it doesn't work. You're not kinder the behema. A behema niknes be mashicha. When you use the wrong kinyan, it doesn't work. In order to be kinder Torah, Rabban says you've got to have memches. These are kinyonim of how to be kind of Torah. This is all a hakdoma for sure. The Alter from Kelm used to say that memches dvarim, there's 49 days. For each day is connected one of the kinyonim, which you've got to work on. And on the 49th day, you do chazara on all of them. And then on the 50th, that's when we makabel Torah. In the Yemei HaDin, between Pesach and Shavuos, the Ribono Shel Olam is sort of like seeing how is our Hachona to Kabbalas HaTorah. And if the Hachana to Kabbalah HaTorah is missing certain kinyonim, when it comes Shavuos and he dances us on Peros HaIlon, there's a din on how much Siyata Dishmaya we're going to have for the next year in Torah. Therefore, when it came to Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, even though 24,000 Talmidei Chacham, I'm talking about Gedolei Yisrael, they were missing a certain midah, whatever, however you want to touch it up, but they were missing a certain covered zeh lazeh, however Chazal want to touch it up. The Ribono Shel Olam held that they're missing, there's something wrong with the Kinyan. Torah is not going to be 100% perfect. So the Ribono Shel Olam says, I don't need such a Torah. There's such a musig of saying, I'll take care of my Torah. Five Talmidim is enough for me to bring back the Torah that I need for Klal Yisrael for the next 2,000 years. I don't need 24,000 Talmidim where Torah is going to have a paslus, or there's going to be something wrong, there's going to be a psul in the kinyan of Torah. If it's not 100% pure with all the kinyanim together, I don't need it. In 1930, there was a lot of pogroms that went on in Russia. And there was a lot of towns where the Bolshevikim, wasn't the Bolshevikim, but the communists came in, and they closed a lot of shuls, they burnt Sifrei Torah, they burnt Svarim, they confiscated tefillin. And the Chofetz Chaim, Reb Chaim Moshe, came out with a letter between Mechazik, the Tzibur, and Klal Yisrael, and we got a daven for them. But then the Chofetz Chaim came out with a personal letter. And if it wouldn't be, and he writes there very, very sharp. He says, what is pshat that the Ribono Shel Olam lets a whole country, lets the Roshoim, how can we give them Roshus? How does he give them Roshus to burn Sifrei Torah? Not to burn Svarim, close down shuls, you're not allowed to learn, they burn tefillin. What is pshat that not on Roshus, he gave Kaviyochel, the Ribono Shel Olam gave Roshus to the Roshoim to do what they could do. What's Pshat in this Midas Hadin of wiping out like a whole country that there shouldn't be Torah? And the Chofetz Chaim writes, I started looking into this and I started thinking to myself, what did we do wrong? What did we do wrong that caused that we're not zeicher? Even those who want to learn can't learn. Okay, there's Rishoyim around in Klal Yisrael, there's a lot of people that don't want to learn. Beseder. So burn their Sifrei Torah, close down their shuls, take away that film because they're not putting it on anyway. But why the ones who want to learn, how does the Midas HaDin just like go on a pogrom and wipe out everything? And he says, I don't even know, I'm not sure where to start. And he bases it on a Medrash. And he says, you see that the Ribbono Shel'Olam pays Midah k'neged Midah. He says, the Kovod HaTorah. He says, Roiv Rubo, over there in Russia, Torah was going down. The Cheshivas for Torah was going down. People were sending their kids to the wrong schools. People weren't machshiv Torah the same way. He says, the minute that you're not machshiv Torah, and the mitzvah tefillin l'moshel, which is the ois between the Ribbono Shel'Olam and yourself, and a person, became hefka, people weren't, there was a lot of klal Yisrael that weren't being makbid on anachas tefillin, etc., etc. So Chabad Chaim writes over there, I make a cheshbon and nefesh, and I say that the Ribbono Shel'Olam, the midas hadin, turned around to the Ribbono Shel'Olam and said, they're not machshiv Torah, they don't deserve Torah. And once the Midas HaDin has a koyach against those Rishoyim that Be'etzem don't deserve Torah, it has a koyach to wipe it out from the whole country. But the Chofetz Chaim writes klar that it's a midah k'neged midah. That when you're not machshiv something, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, you don't deserve it. Finished. You can't have it. Even the little that you do want, you can't even have that either. And the Chofetz Chaim writes again in 1905, when there was a famous earthquake in Japan, the Chofetz Chaim wrote a whole letter that when there's an earthquake in the other side of the world, the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't do something in this world that has nothing to do with Yidden. It's all a message to the Yidden. It can happen on the other side of the world, because the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want to affect Jews per se, that means physically. But he's sending the Yidden a message. And whenever there's something that goes on in the world, there is a message here that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to send us. I can only tell you my personal thoughts. And I hold it's a Moridika Yesoid, which I feel is something that there's a Moridika message in it. There was a volcano that erupted in Iceland. Now, Be'etzen has nothing to do with us. Okay, a volcano erupted. It was probably because of this global warming, which is a lot of baloney, and whatever the scientists are coming out and saying why it happened, and we look in the papers and you worry about there's a million people stranded in Europe, they're losing $200 million a day from no flights, and how many hundreds of flights have been cancelled, and how many Jews want to come home for Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaTzomos. And Nebuch, they're stranded somewhere in some Trafford country that they went to visit. And that's what the papers are talking about. Did anybody ever sit down and make a cheshbon and nefesh? What does the Ribbono Shel Olam want from us? What does he want from us? What exactly is a volcano erupting in Iceland to do with us, Yeshiva Bochum? And it really bothered me, like, what's the message here? I have a hargosha, I don't know if it's emes, but there's a lot of emes in it. We live in a Moedikas man where there's a hashpah of Torah that's never been in Klal Yisrael before. There's never been so many yeshivas. There's never been so many bochum that have a chance to sit and learn. I mean, going back 100 years ago, all the way back in history, if you didn't have the best head and you weren't the ilui of the town, you went to work at 13 because there was nothing to eat. There was no credit cards and there was no gemachim and there was no nothing. If you didn't have money that day, those few prutas, you didn't have food to eat that night. And everybody went to work, and everybody were a bunch, most people were Elach Yidden, aber nicht kein größer Tamid der Chachamim, Tehillim Yidden, what we called. Elach Yidden, who used to come in and learn at 7 o'clock in the evening, worn out, sit down in a Beis HaMedrash and listen to Shein Ein Yankov or Chaya Odom. And that was most of Klal Yisrael. Much more Elach and Yerushalayim than today, but less. But there were bigger Amaratzim. In the last 100 years, 50 years since this Holocaust, Rebbe Shem gave us a shefa, a tremendous shefa of money and of Torah. Today, there's no person that can come upstairs after 120 and say he's a Jew that never had a chance and couldn't sit and learn. If you can't sit and learn, you've got art scroll. And if you can't do art scroll, you've got shiurim on tape and you've got shiurim online. There's nothing, there's no minute of the day that you can't be busy with something around Torah. And it's true, there's a lot more Talmidei Chacham, if you want to call it that, more learned people in the Balabatisha world than there ever was. And the same with Bochum, the amount of that a Bochum today is 17, 18, 19, 20, has a freedom they never had before. The oil, the yoke of life doesn't affect them till they're 20, and even after they get married. Even if you are studying to become the greater dream lawyer or doctor that you want to become and waste the next 40 years of your life doing nothing, even according to that, you're still supported by your parents. I've had it because the money, the support, the shiurim, the shefa of brocha that Rebbe Shem gave us is unbelievable. And the truth is, came at everybody from the biggest bomb to the biggest Talmud Chacham goes through the yeshiva system. We all go through yeshiva. But there's one thing that today's generation is very lax with, even with the yeshivas of Torah. And that is, the metzias of flying today is very easy. Guy gets a cheap ticket, flies off for the weekend from Eretz Yisrael to America for Bar Mitzvah. A chasna, my third cousin's chasna, got to be there. I'm very close with him. It means a lot to him. Torah became cheap. Torah became cheap because the Rebbe Shem gave us such a shefa of Torah that we don't have the same chashivas for it. Amolige Zeiten. 150 years ago, 100 years ago, for a bocher to have the chance to sit down and learn, and he knew he has to sit down and learn, he put away 15 hours a day because he knew this is it. I don't have another chance. Today, if it's not today, it'll be tomorrow. I'll make up for it some other time. And you know what? And if I don't know it, I'll make it up somewhere along the line. Torah became cheap. Bittul Torah. I'm not talking about in time. Bittul Torah in quality became cheap. The flying, that you can go home for a Shabbos, you can come later as a man, because of my fifth cousin's bar mitzvah, you know, what's the big deal? So I come 3 days later as a man. What's the big deal? I'll make it up, I've got a good head, no problem. By the time I come, the guys will just be around about getting past the first Mishnah. Okay, no problem. Torah became cheap. Torah became cheap. Yungalite pick themselves up. Any chasna in the way, they'll just take off a week in the middle of a zman. Unheard of. Ramosh Shmuel Shapira says over that when he went to learn in Branovich, from where he was living in Bialystok, and from Bialystok to Branovich, I think it was 15 miles. But in those days, it was a long way away. He came home for Sukkos without his parents' rishus. And he walked up the steps to his house, and his father, who was one of the dayonim of Bialystok, was an odden gadol, came out and said, "Why are you taking a break? What are you doing here? What did you come home for? Go straight back." And he sent him back to Branovich the same day. A yeshiva bocha? Kumst daheim for Pesach, Efshar. Erev Pesach, you'll come home. A year? You go, Maget HaVek Len, Len, Agansa Yor. You learn for a whole year. What's a shaykh coming home? Sukkos? Unheard of. He sent him straight back the same day. I'm already home here. No. You go back to yeshiva. Today, Torah became cheap. Came cheap. And if I don't get it today, I'll get it tomorrow. And if I don't understand it 100%, big deal. I know basically what's pshat in the Gemara. If somebody asks me Zakasha, I look smarter than the other guy anyway, because I have a better head. So I'll be able to show him that I can learn better. Torah became cheap. Because of that shefa that the Rabbeinu Shalom gave us of Torah, it became cheap. And the traveling of today's traveling became so cheap that for any small reason, you can take off whenever you want, how you want, whenever you want. No big deal. I'll come a day late, I'll come a week late, I'll go in the middle of Zaman. 2 times 12 is 24, and it's not 1 times 24. Okay, that was Rabbi Akiva. Big deal. Nothing to worry about. The Rabbeinu Shalom turned around and said, Ad kan. Dafka in the Yumei HaSfira, where the Chashivas of Torah is so important, where this is the Zman for Kabbalah, for Achona, for Kabbalah's HaTorah, the Rabbeinu Shalom turned around and said, you're not Machshiv Torah. Rosh Chodesh, Iya. Every younger man and every bocher should be sitting in the Beis Hamedrash, sitting and learning, and you're still busy in the airports of Europe and England. The Rabbeinu Shalom says, I don't need that kind of Torah. Stay home. I won't blow you apart. I'm not going to bring an earthquake that's going to put you in sorrow sorrows. I won't hurt you physically. I'll just cause an earthquake that 20,000 feet above the ground, if any plane goes through, the plane will go to pieces. No problem. Nobody can move for a week, for 2 weeks. I don't need that kind of Torah. I'm not going to wipe you out. This is not Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, 24,000 Talmidim, that I have to wipe them out because they're missing in the Kinyon HaTorah. But there's a small Kinyon HaTorah which you're missing. The Chashivas for that Torah, I don't need you. You can't come back on a Wednesday or on a Tuesday. Yungalait can't come back. Bochrum couldn't come back a day earlier. Be masada themselves. That Thursday morning, you walk into Seder and start learning. But what do you say? Hayyesh's Rosh Chodesh is 2 days. And the second day is Thursday. And then the stomach is going to be a Chavrusa tumult. Or even if I do have a Chavrusa, it's not going to be so stark, the learning. So what's the big deal? I'll stay another Shabbos at home and I can enjoy myself a bit more and turn up on Dalad Iya on a Sunday. And before I turn around to the Beis Hamedrash, it'll be Monday. He says, I just killed 4 days of learning. So the Rebbeinu Shalom, you know what? Stay home. I don't need you. I don't need your Torah. There's hundreds of Bochrim stranded across Europe. There's yeshivas in Yerushalayim that haven't started because 3/4 of them are sitting in airports in the chutzlars. What does the Rebbeinu Shalom want from us? What's he telling us? When you're not machshiv learning and learning comes cheap, I don't need your learning. Anybody think about it? I don't think I'm saying a big chiddush. I think it's poshut. Why didn't it happen in America? Or why dafka to Europe? That's already chashven shemayim. We're not here to answer why dafka there. But that's klar. It's a musa haskel for us to learn. No shaila about it in my mind. That when traveling becomes cheap, and we can take off the middle of Zman, and we can take off Shabbosim, for the smallest excuse. There's a story with Reb Shlomo Zalman Neubach. He was standing outside Kol Torah, and a bocher came over to him and said to him, there's a bus going to Bnei Barak for Chasna. I'm not one of his close friends, but I want to go to the Chasna. Should I go or not? So Reb Shlomo Zalman says to him, I don't know what to answer you, but I can tell you one thing. The reason why I'm Shlomo Zalman Neubach is for one reason, because when I was your age, I didn't have that shaila. When I was your age, I didn't even think about such a shaila. It didn't come up, such a shaila. In Europe, there was a shaila when a bocha got married. You sent one bocha out of 400 to represent the yeshiva to be Masameh v'chosim. That's what happened. One bocha, two bocha. If it was Rabban Kotler that got married, I think they sent two bocha. Sent busloads of bocha to chasnas. Cheap. What's the big deal? So I miss a night seder. I miss a few days of learning. The whole traveling system became cheap. Our chashivas for kviyas l'Torah became cheap. So the Rebbeinu Shalom, you know what? Adarabba, in the Yimei Hadin of where you've got to make a hachonah for Torah, that's when I send my messages. That's when there's a midah keneged midah. When Torah becomes cheap, I don't need the Torah. There's so much Torah being missing in Klal Yisrael now. There's yeshivas that haven't been open. How much bittul Torah is going on now? That hundreds of yeshiva bochrim and yungalait now that don't even have where to stay, or even if they're staying by their shvers, and who knows what's going on, and then it's too much already, and they're so out of, they don't even have the menuchas and nefesh to sit down and learn. If the Rebbeinu Shalom would have sent this earthquake, We could have been sitting and learning Benucha, says Rabbi Shalom. I don't need your Torah. When you're not much of it, and it doesn't mean anything much to you, you're missing in the Shleimus HaTorah. Goodbye. I don't need it. One of the Kinyonei HaTorah is Misyashiv B'Talmudei. If you go through the last Perek in Ovos, you will see there's Menches Dvarim SheHaTorah Niknas Behem, Be'Ema V'Yira. One of them, number 41, is Misyashiv B'Talmudei. What does Misyashiv B'Talmudei mean? So the Medrash Shmuel brings down, what does Misyashiv B'Talmudei mean? Kloima. She'ein Eloi Mederech Arai. He doesn't learn just Agav Urcha, you know. Elo Misyashiv, he sits down. Berach Keva B'Talmudei. There's a kvias. It's day in, day out. There's a certain kvias. There's a consistency. Rabbi Yerucham says, Asei Teiros HaKeva Malachtocha Arai. When we say Asei Teiros HaKeva, make your Torah a kvias. Umalachtocha Arai, and your work is secondary. It's not so important. It's Arai. I have to do it, so I do it. But what's your main focus? What's your kvias in life? What are you focused on? It's Teiros HaKeva. Says Yerucham, we're not talking about whether you're learning 12 hours a day or whether you're learning an hour a day. The shaila is what's choshev by you. You can be learning 12 hours a day, but when going home is more important, when somewhere outside the Beis HaMedrash takes precedent over the learning, you're willing to close the Gemara for any excuse. That's not called Teiros HaKeva. That's called Melachta HaKeva. Or you can have the Balabos, or you can have the Yeshiva Bocha. That the kvias that he fixes every day, he's not going to move. Doesn't move from it. There'll be chasnas, there'll be brisen, there'll be this, there'll be that. I've got to have my hour, my chavrusashaft, I can't miss. That's called Teiros HaKeva. Keva doesn't mean how many hours I learn. Keva means what's my focus? How do I plan my day out? Do I plan my day out round my chavrusa? Do I close the Gemara for the first excuse that will come up to get me out of the Beis HaMedrash, even though I've been sitting and learning 8 hours today? Or is it Malachta Chokeva? Misyashiv the Talmudei means that what's my ikka focus in learning? What's my ikka focus in life? Is it learning, or is it any excuse to get out of learning? When it's any excuse to get out of learning, or the smallest heichatimso, where avada, I give you 50 excuses why I have to go and I must go, and it's a cheap ticket and it's not so expensive, and it's very important I'm there because it's a choshev bar mitzvah, it's a choshev simcha. When that kvias of Torah is out the window, you're missing in a Kinyan HaTorah. You're missing in a Kinyan HaTorah that's needed to be Koina Torah, to be Zeicha, that on Shavuos, and the Rebbeinu Shlomo is Danas, and he sits, he's Yoshev Badin, and he decides who gets Siyata Dishmaya this year. So he takes a look and he sees who's Teiros HaKeva. Not how many hours a day you're learning. There's plenty Masmidim who are stuck on the other side of the ocean. There's plenty Masvidim. There's plenty of people who know how to learn Gevaldik who are stuck on the other side of the ocean. But for some reason, Rabbi Shalom said, no, stay home. Because I only want to give the Siyata Dishmaya to sit and learn to those whose Teiros HaKeva, when their focus is on learning. If a guy has a job and he has to fly to the Far East by hook or by crook, he's by every meeting. There's no such thing as a chasna, a bar mitzvah, a cousin's wedding. A guy's working in a bank, a guy's working in a business. Suddenly, you don't see him by chasnas, you don't see him fly suddenly in for Shabbos, you don't see him come late 2 days to work, because I had some sort of thing. Why? Because he's focused. This is where my livelihood is. This is my panosa. When Torah becomes your livelihood, when Torah becomes your focus, then you make a cheshbon, what's more important? Is it so bad? Can I miss it or not? When that becomes a kinyan in you, then the whole... And we're not talking about how many hours I put in. We're talking about what your focus is on. It's a mindset. And when that mindset is not a proper mindset, then volcanoes go off and Iceland and Torah is much less. There's much less Torah being learned in Eretz Yisrael today. But you know what? Rabbi Shlomo says you'll survive. We'll survive without it. Because you've got to learn the lesson. I gave you a hashpah of Torah. I gave you Siyata Dishmaya that every one of you can sit and learn. Use it. Use it. And when I may say use it, not everybody can sit and learn all day. Not everybody can. And not everybody is possible. But Rabbi Shlomo says one thing. That I can't expect from you. A kinyan and Torah means where my focus is. How machshiv Torah? When I make a kviyas, the kviyas is from the beginning to end, whether it's half an hour a day, or 3 hours a day, or 10 hours a day. Nothing can get me from that kviyas. That kviyas is, that's it. Chayk v'lo yaveh, I will not break anything for it. Why? It's chashiv. What's pshat? Because you're machshiv it. When a guy's a machshiv money, and he gets paid a moshel, to give you a marshal, if you come to Marev Tzul Shavuos, I'll pay you $500, right? So what's his focus? He'll never miss a Marev, right? He'll always say Sfiras Ha'ima. What's pshat? He's totally focused on that, and the world can fall apart. He's got to make it for Marev. What's pshat? He'll walk 20 minutes to a Marev. Why? Because he's focused. He knows exactly what's choshev by him. I'm not getting into whether marriage is the choshev of, the money is the choshev. But he's focused on it. The world can fall apart, he's going to make it. That's what the Rebbe Nishan wants from us for Torah. Choyk for lo yavo, you have a chavrusa. You made a kviyas, whether it's the half an hour, whether it's the hour, whether it's the 3 hours. How much are you machshev it? And how you machshev it is how much siyata dishma you'll get on Shavuos for Torah.